appreciate if those lights would be turned down. I'm having a hard time even seeing you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let us pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for your word, Lord God, that you have a purpose in it, Lord. And Lord, we know that according to your word, Lord, that it would not return void to you. So Lord, as we continue in our praise and worship to you, Lord God, the hearing of your word, Lord God, let your Holy Spirit work on us and do whatever is necessary, Lord God, to bring us more to what your desire is for us, and that's to become more like Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Before I begin, I have some good news for some of you and some bad news for some of you also. Winter is on its way. Some of you are glad and some of you are sad. Praise the God. We're continuing in our series of things not to avoid doing to the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to talk about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 12, verse 22-34, we'll read portions of that. It says, "Then a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute was brought to Jesus, and he healed him, so that the mute man spoke and saw. And all the crowds were amazed at what had happened and were saying, 'This man cannot be the son of David, is he?' But when the Pharisees heard of what they had said, 'This man cast out demons by Beelzebub in the ruler of the demons.'" And knowing their thoughts, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, spoke to them. He said that any kingdom that was divided could not stand. And we'll just paraphrase here. And Satan was actually, and Jesus was saying that Satan is not going to act against himself because his kingdom would not stand. And he warned the Pharisees at that time that they were blaspheming. And yet as we look, we find that as Jesus spoke, that there was two actually blasphemies going on at the same time. Now, many Christians, there are a number of Christians who actually are walking in fear, believing that they have blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. But in actuality, if you were to talk to them and find out, well, what do you mean and how did you do it, they have no really any response to that. They can't pinpoint it. But when you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, you know you have done it. And mostly, Jesus was warning the Pharisees that they were on the verge of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. They were blaspheming him. But according to Jesus, if you read the scriptures, you can blaspheme Jesus out of ignorance Paul says that he was a blasphemer, but he did it out of ignorance. But when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, it's not out of ignorance. It's predetermined. You have made up your mind to blaspheme him, to say things about the Holy Spirit that you would normally say. Now, we've gone through looking at certain things not to avoid doing against the Holy Spirit, and one of them was resisting. Another one was lying, insulting, tempting. All of these things can be done against the Holy Spirit, and we do that at times. However, we know that they are sin, and yet those actions are forgivable. God pardons. God forgives you. Obviously, you need to go and repent of what you've done in those situations. You can even quench and grieve the Holy Spirit and still be forgiven. But when it comes to blaspheming the Holy Spirit, Jesus says there is no forgiveness. It is the unpardonable sin. It's taking the Holy Spirit and speaking against the Holy Spirit in such a manner that you demean him, you just simply hate what he's doing, and you take what he is doing and say that it becomes, that it is from the devil, that it is from Satan, that he's doing these things. You know, Jesus was accused of blaspheming. Remember when he was, in this instance here, when he healed the man, they blasphemed him. But in that case, they were forgiven. They could be forgiven. But once they stepped over the line and started to talk about the Holy Spirit, and Jesus was healing this man and casting out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit, we find that the Pharisees and the scribes were not even paying attention to the scriptures that they had, nor did they realize or want to recognize who Christ was. And yet God was showing them who Jesus was through these signs and wonders that he was performing. So, you can resist. That's not blaspheming the Holy Spirit. You can insult him. Please don't. But I'm saying you have the possibility of insulting him at a time. You can lie to him. You can tempt him. You can quench him and you can grieve him. But the one thing you don't want to do, certainly, is to blaspheme him. Because that sin is not pardonable. There is no forgiveness for that sin. In Matthew 12, verses 22 to 34, it appears that this blaspheming is not a one-time thing, but it is more of a condition of the heart where one builds up this hatred, this demeaning of the Holy Spirit, and begins to speak it out. It's not held within. It begins to be spoken out against the Holy Spirit. And once that's done, and it's a continuous thing, it's not a one-time affair. It's continuous in its nature. We find that in blaspheming the Holy Spirit, there's a sense in our conscience that begins to become seared. You know, the conscience is given by God as part of His image. It is that part which tells us what is right and what is wrong. It is also the pathway for the Holy Spirit to convict us and to call us. But again, if you're there blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and you can probably assume at this point in time that none of you have done that, and you can take it as a guarantee that you haven't done it because you're here in the presence of God, and you've all been forgiven. So you haven't committed that sin. However, there are people who do. And so we want to avoid that. Or we even say you came across a person that was repelling the call of the Holy Spirit on his life or her life, beginning to deny the works of the Holy Spirit in his life or her life. What happens? You know that sooner or later, that person can get to a point of beginning to blaspheme the Holy Spirit because he's so irritated with God. But what should you do? Should you antagonize them with more religious words? Or should you draw back and begin to pray that that man or woman would not lose their salvation? That they would not get to that point where they blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You know, there are times that we resist the Holy Spirit. There are times that we insult Him by the things that we do, even in our words, but they're not blasphemy. So never attribute the work of the Holy Spirit to Satan. Never attribute the work of Satan to the Holy Spirit. We're on the verge, I believe, that there's a stirring that is going on in the churches today. A stirring that is by the Holy Spirit Himself. He's brooding over the church just as He did at the creation. And we sing that the fire would come down on us. The holy fire of the Holy Spirit would come on. You see these little flames over here on the walls. I believe it was Bobby that put them up, Roberta. But you know, as I look at them, they're very faint. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to turn them up. He's going to turn that fire on. And then we'll see His works. We'll see His power. We'll see the glory of the Lord fall in this place and in other churches. But we need to be attentive to Him, not doing our own thing, but doing His. We want to receive that fire. We want to see that glory. But are we prepared for it? Are we preparing ourselves for that? You know, when the fire falls, there's a purpose to it. A purpose is called change, a transformation from where we are to where God wants us to be. Are we ready for that change? Are we ready? He wants us to be ready. He's preparing us. You can sense it. It's no longer business as usual. It's changing. God is changing His people. For the work that He wants us to do. It's no longer church. As usual. God has a purpose for His people. God wants you and I to be ready. God wants you and I to be empowered by His Holy Spirit to do His work. Are you ready? Are you willing? Am I willing to follow Him fully? I believe We have one more message on the Holy Spirit. And as to talk about grieving him and quenching the Spirit, two other things that we should not be doing. Not if we want to survive as a church, as God's church. Because once you do these things, you end up without the Holy Spirit. He can no longer function in a church that doesn't want him. He no longer functions in a church that doesn't speak of him. He no longer functions in a church that does not give Jesus the glory and the Father all that they deserve. Do you want the Holy Spirit to function in this church? Do you want him to guide us and to counsel us and to do all that he has been called to do? All that he desires to do? The answer is up to us. Will it be yes or will it be no? It's our choice. He's given us that choice. Quiet. That's all I have to say this morning. The musicians can come back up. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that we have the opportunity to be in your presence. And Lord, our desire is to be like Jesus. That is your purpose of your church, Lord God. To become more like Jesus on this earth. To become the salt and the light that you have called us to be. And Lord, let the desire of our hearts be not to be against the Holy Spirit, but be for the Holy Spirit. To be a part of what he desires us to be. So, Lord, we just ask, Lord God and Father, that He would counsel us in all things, that He would bring back all the words, Lord God, that You have spoken, that He would minister, O Lord God, His grace and His mercy to us. We thank You, Lord. Lord, we just surrender ourselves to Him. Lord Jesus, You're the head of the church. But we know that the Holy Spirit is the one who guides and ministers to us and brings us to that point, Lord God. Father, that we may glorify You in all things. So, Lord, we thank You and praise You. Lord, we ask, Lord, that we would avoid doing all these things, Lord, that have been talked about against Your Holy Spirit. But, Lord, let us be a people, Lord God, that would follow You fully, without shame. But Father, our desire is to do all things for You and to glorify You. Because there is none like You, Lord. There's none like You, Lord Jesus. You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we submit ourselves to You, Lord, this day. Have Your way. Have Your way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.